this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans.
A few minutes after 4 in the morning, Waffen-SS Colonel Schwartz set out with his motorcycle escort through the darkness on his long journey back to his regimental headquarters. His safe arrival could spell disaster for Battalion Commander Gunter Schier and his adjutant, Lieutenant Baeser. They didn't wish him a safe journey through the Yugoslav hills and had indeed made arrangements to ensure that he would meet disaster rather than themselves. As a result, a former Russian officer, Dmitry Arkhanov, now an escaped prisoner of war, waited for the arrival of Colonel Schwartz. With him were 4 other former Russian soldiers, who now formed part of Major Ramsden's column of fugitives, who were fleeing towards the coast. 2 landmines had been planted in the path of the expected vehicles, and the 5 men nursed Schmeisser machine guns. Dmitry looked up the rough, narrow road and saw the loom of approaching lights. Weapons were cocked, and fingers curled around 5 triggers. With lights dimmed, 2 motorcycles, each with a gun-mounted sidecar, approached. Then came Colonel Schwartz's black staff car. Behind it followed 2 motorcycles. Then, as the leading motorcycles drew level with Dimitri's position, one of them touched off a mine. The driver of the staff car swerved to avoid hitting the shattered motorcycle and... Before they could organize a defense, the men on the rear motorcycles were cut down. Within seconds, it was all over. The Russians came out from their cover, counted the bodies, and were satisfied there had been no survivors. They took a circuitous route around the village of Komasek, and on the other side, were met by Lieutenant Weser in an armored half-track vehicle. A nod from Dmitri told the German officer that the Russians had done all that was expected of them. They climbed aboard the half-track and were given a lift back towards Major Ramsden's column of fugitives. With a grin, Dmitri had only one thing to say to Lieutenant Baeser.
This is a fine vehicle. One day, we take it for ourselves.
Good morning, Herr Major. I have just returned the Russians to Major Ramsden's column.
Good. What was their report?
A nod and a grin from their leader. He was not very communicative.
Typical, typical. Did they suffer any casualties?
9, not even a bruise.
So, in an hour you will detail a patrol to go east down the road where they will find the bodies, yeah?
Yeah.
Put Sergeant Kolben in charge.
Major.
His written reports are always very precise and convincing. Then you can get some sleep.
You left orders for the battalion to move at 8, Herr Major.
I think you will have ample opportunity to sleep while we are on the move.
Yeah, Herr Major.
I counted 10 bodies. There were no survivors. I think you very good SS Major Frame will be content with our work.
No, I know how you resent my having contact with Major Scheer, but we are the real beneficiaries of this dialogue.
An enemy is an enemy.
I know, Dmitri. I appreciate how you feel, but there's much more to war than soldiers lobbing hand grenades at each other.
Ah, do not trust any German. All I say is beware. This SS Major could lead us all into a trap.
We have an arrangement about that.
Huh. Would he honor any arrangement with you, Major? There's nearly 6,000 men less than 30 kilometers behind us. We are less than 200 if I don't count Kovac. He's unreliable parties on four. Does a fox make a deal with a chicken, huh?
If it means escaping from the farmer's shotgun, yes. You see, I'm as good as you Russians at making up analogies. Believe me, Major Scheer could overwhelm us in no time at all, but he has a very good reason not to do so. That was why this Colonel Schwartz had to be killed. He was a danger to us all. He could have upset our arrangement and brought an SS Panzer group to cut off our escape.
I don't understand any of this, Major.
Yes, I can understand how confusing all this must seem to you. Very well, Dmitri. It's only fair that I take you into my confidence. You and your men have been loyal, and you've done some magnificent work. If I could issue medals, I'd give each and every man the highest award.
Thank you, Major. Those words alone are an honor to hear. I will relay them to my men.
Please do. Now, let me explain to you what transpired between Major Scheer and myself when we met. And Major Scheer has kept his word. His request for us to deal with Colonel Schwartz is proof of this. Do you understand now?
It is clear, Major Armstrong. But it's a very strange war where even your enemies are your friends.
Not friends, Dmitri. For the time being, we're in a state of coexistence with Major Scheer. I think the time will come when the truce ends and we have to fight once more. But I think Major Scheer will do the honorable thing and give us advance warning.
It is best to be prepared at all times.
Exactly.
How long can Major Scheer pretend to remain in ignorance of his orders to go and meet the Soviet army? Huh? 2 days? Perhaps 3?
A lot longer, I hope. At our present rate of progress, I expect to reach the entrance to Rajik Pass by tomorrow night. After you've had some sleep, I want you to take your men ahead to patrol the area. Now, if you make any contact whatsoever with the Germans, I want you to let me know right away.
You suspect the trap?
Not from Major Scheer, no. But stationed some 80 miles north is a Panzer group. They know all about us. Their commander might have already sent a force to deal with us. I doubt it, but I must consider all possibilities.
If we leave then, the rear will be open.
No, your men will be replaced by 60 British and American prisoners. They'll be joining us sometime during the morning.
Oh, I heard about them.
As soon as I've briefed these newcomers, I'll send them out to relieve your men. It's nearly 7 o'clock. Look, call Captain Sanders for me, please, and tell him to get everyone on the move.
Meanwhile, my own progress towards Rajik Pass was going well. May I even say blissfully? Violetta was no longer just a guide. During the night, we had become lovers. And it was just as she said, the dangers we had faced merely served as a spice to our lovemaking. Now, as the sun rose above the eastern hills, we walked confidently along the floor of a valley. But we still exercised caution. Though few people lived in this area, there was a slight danger of running into one of the partisan bands, many of which suffered from a paranoid distrust of strangers. We kept a few yards off from the tracks, using what cover we could.
We are making good time, Paul.
Yes, I know, but even so, I'm a day behind schedule. For all I know, Major Ramsden and his people have been trapped in Rajik Pass and wiped out by the Waffen SS group that's chasing them.
We will be there by noon.
Even if we take a rest now?
Yes.
Good. I feel as though I've been through a mangle. What with swimming that river and, all the rest. All right, you can laugh at me. Violetta, I know your people don't take a serious love affair lightly. Here, sit down beside me on this rock.
Yes, Paul. We do take love very, very seriously. When a woman tells a man she loves him, it comes from a fire in her heart.
And do you love me?
If I did not, we would now be at least 10 kilometers closer to Rajik.
Then what I say now comes from a fire inside my own heart. Violetta, when we get a chance, I want to marry you.
Oh, Paul, I do so much want to say yes, but...
Is something wrong?
I am thinking of you. Danger does add a spice to love, but it does something else. A man and a woman together facing danger will make love just to relieve the tension of this situation. I know. I have seen it many times with other men and girls in Carescu's partisan group. It was not a fire in their hearts. It was fear.
I see. So you think what happened between us was created by fear?
Oh, not for my part, Paul. I know I love you. But do you love me in the same way?
Well, of course I do. Haven't I just asked you to marry me?
But if we live through this, and when times become normal, when all danger has passed, Will you not regret our marriage?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Violetta, why should I?
Think, Paul. What am I? A peasant girl from the mountains of Montenegro. You are educated, while I can hardly read and write. What will your friends in England say when you take me to your home?
Oh, they will say how beautiful you are, and how lucky I am to have found such a treasure in the mountains.
That is only what you hope they will say. Why, Paul, I know only two words in your language.
Hmm? What are they?
Yes and no.
Well, that's enough for a start. And as from today, you start learning 10 English words a day. And as for my friends, they can admire you, be jealous of me, or they can go to hell. Now, will you marry me?
No, not yet.
Violetta, please.
We will stay as lovers until I know you will not regret marrying me.
How will you know?
I will know when the time comes. It will be a time I know it will be safe for me to propose to you.
You're a strange and beautiful creature.
In the next 2 weeks, we could be hanged as spies, Paul, shot as traitors, or killed in action against the Germans. Let us live as lovers who believe each moment of love is their last. Because, Paul, it may be so.
To help you with that cart.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Major. Hmm? Weird Irishman and his group are here.
Oh, where?
The back of the column. If you think we're a ragtag army, you should see the state of them.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Mrs. Clitheroe is doing what she can with clothes, and Sergeant Watkinson is checking their weapons.
I want to see that Irishman. What's his name?
Albert Ryan.
Yes, Albert Ryan. You'll discover in time, Captain Sanders, that all Irishmen are weird in one way or another. They either drink too much or fight too much. But they're damn good soldiers if you can inspire them into following orders. Letting them work it out for themselves can be somewhat dangerous.
Do I detect a note of bigotry, sir?
No, laddie. The voice of experience.
Well, anyhow, Sergeant Ryan will be along as soon as Mrs. Clitheroe has done something about those peculiar peasant pantaloons he was wearing.
Do you see what I mean? How many did he bring in with him?
53. 11 American and 42 British. Yeah, most of the British are Irish, by the sound of it.
I see. Well, whatever they are, they're most welcome. We'll have need of good fighting men to get us over the last lap.
You still intend to try to find a way through Rajak Pass, Major?
Yes, that's a problem I must face. Kovacs assures me there's no way through to the coast, and once inside, that we'll be trapped. I don't think I dare risk it. After all, I can't ignore what the local peasants say. Yes, I know our last order specifically said we should go by way of Rajak Pass, but what if military intelligence made a mistake?
No, they're not infallible. If you're interested in my view, Major, I think we should turn north and skirt the mountains.
And risk walking into a panzer brigade? Oh, damn it, what rotten luck getting our radio shot up like that.
Oh, here's Ryan.
And a fine day to you, sir. Sergeant Ryan reporting for duty, sir.
Stand easy, Sergeant. I'm glad to see you and your group arrived safely.
We could have joined the column very early in the morning, sir, but I thought we should get a good sleep first because I know that you'll be needing us for duty right away.
Have you seen Sergeant Watkinson?
Oh, that I have, sir, yes. I gave him a list of all the men with me.
Good. Are you the senior NCO?
No. This is Sergeant Ferris with the Yanks, sir, but we all got along very nicely.
Mm. Captain Sanders, you'll take charge of the Americans.
Yes, sir. I'll see them right away.
No. Stay and listen what I have to say to Sergeant Ryan.
Sir.
Our present rear guard consists of some 20 Russian and 15 Polish SKPs. I'll be sending them ahead to scout Rajak Pass. You and your men will replace them, Sergeant.
Yes, very good, sir. The lads, they're spoiling for the fight with them Jerry's behind them.
Then they're going to be disappointed. You're to remain about 6 miles to the rear of the column. Should you see an advance party of SS, you will fire a warning shot over their heads.
Honest, sir? Won't we give ourselves away like that?
Exactly. The Germans will fall back and wait until you've vacated your position.
That's a funny idea, sir.
We have an arrangement, Sergeant.
So we don't do nothing except just watch for them?
That's the idea, yes.
What if they don't retreat, sir? Say they just keep coming on.
Send a messenger back to me and fire more warning shots.
And if they still keep coming on?
Well, you'll have no choice but to shoot to kill.
It's a funny way of fighting a war, sir.
You're the second to say that today. I'll just say this. It's convenient, and it avoids unnecessary bloodshed.
Well, if you say so, sir.
I do say so, Sergeant. We have a truce, and any man found violating this will be severely punished.
You can trust me, sir. I'll get the men together and warn them.
Good. Captain Saunders, go to St. Ryan and see his men understand the position, and then tell Dimitri that he can withdraw his men from rearguard duty.
And Lieutenant Brzezinski?
I've already briefed him. He and his men left for Rajak Pass an hour ago.
Violetta and I climbed to the top of a low hill. Looking out to the east and north, we could see a landscape of undulating scrub and forest. We were almost at the foot of a tall, bleak mountain. Beyond it reared a second, even higher mountain. I felt a sinking feeling in my stomach. The mountains looked so grim and forbidding. Violetta pointed to the northwest.
Rajak Pass runs west between those mountains, Paul.
And you were brought up there?
We knew nothing else. My father and grandfather were born there on the high slopes of the mountains. We kept sheep and goats.
Why the high slopes?
When you have seen it, you will understand. Only very early in the morning can the sun reach Rajak Pass, and then for only half an hour. It is narrow and rocky at the bottom, and dark, like the inside of a deep well. Very little can grow, but higher up it is a little brighter, and grass and bushes are able to grow. It is a lonely, silent place. There is a story that many hundreds of years ago, an army was trapped in Rajak Pass by the Turks. They were all killed.
And what about the path out to the west?
I don't know. Perhaps the path was not known in those days.
Well, I hope you're right about it.
Do you not believe me?
Well, of course I believe you. It's just that, well, I feel uneasy. Remember, you were only a small child when you went over it.
I can still remember it. The way through will be very difficult and dangerous, but the path is there.
Well, let's carry on. I hope Major Ramsden's column isn't far away. We'll have to be careful we don't walk into the arms of the Germans.
Oh, well, I have never known a road as bad as this. No, of course. It is as you told me, there is no road, just a goat track.
Yeah, Hammerjoll. And in another 3 kilometers, there will be nothing but a rocky valley floor.
We will abandon the lorries and camouflage them. Then we shall have to travel like Major Ramsden's people on foot.
You can use one of the half tracks, Major.
Yeah, I am tempted. But no, not for a while. The exercise will do me good. You know that, Lieutenant Weser. Walking is the finest exercise a man can do.
I thought that running...
Ah, for short, perhaps. But a man can walk and walk without getting tired once he becomes accustomed to it. And in what better place could a man walk? Look at it, Lieutenant. Raw nature, unspoiled. If not for those damned diesel fumes, we would be able to smell the freshness of the countryside.
Not for long, Herr Major. From what I have heard, Rajak Pass is bleak and desolate. Very little grows there.
Well, whatever it is like, it must be an improvement on the Eastern Front. Compared to that, my dear Reza, even living in a cave is preferable.
Yeah?
The deeper we go into the mountain foothills, the less likely it is we will receive orders from headquarters. Huh? Anyway, let us not worry.
Nein, Major.
Look out on the beauties of nature, huh? And try to forget the harshness of reality. Here, try one of these cigars.
Stop here for a while, Paul. Oh,
gladly. But why? Is there a reason?
This hilltop commands a view of the entrance to the pass.
Hmm.
I think before going closer, it is better to make sure we are alone.
Now I can see what you mean by it being a grim place. Yeah, it reminds me of those gruesome fairy stories I read when I was a little one. It's funny, isn't it? How small kids love being scared. Do you know, I remember when I was in school and someone... What is it?
We are not alone.
I don't see anything.
Over there on the right. See the outcrop of rocks?
Yeah.
There are men passing by. There, do you see?
Yes. Yes, there's... Oh, no, there's about a dozen of them.
They are being very careful, as though expecting to be attacked. See how they keep to the shelter of the rocks and bushes.
Who are they? Surely they're not Germans.
It is a mystery to me. No, not Germans, and certainly not partisans. They all wear the same uniform, but rough and ill-fitting. Could they be your English soldier?
No. If I didn't know better, I'd say... No, that would be ridiculous.
In war, even the ridiculous is possible. You think they are Russians?
Yes, but I can't be sure. What in heaven's name are Russians doing this far west? Last I heard, they were 400 miles away. No, Violetta, they can't be Russians.
It is possible the Russians parachuted some men into the mountains to harass the Germans.
Yes, now that is a possibility. The fact that there's supposed to be a Waffen-SS battalion in the area could have attracted them. All right. Supposing we have Russians and Germans in the vicinity. What about Major Ramsden and his group?
Is it possible they could be already inside the pass?
No, I don't think so. If that were the case, the Germans would be guarding the pass entrance. And as you can see, there's no one there. The Waffen-SS won't make any effort to conceal their presence.
Yet these Russians, if they are Russians, these men are heading for the bar.
This is all so damn confusing.
Perhaps we can make contact with them.
No, not until we can positively identify them.
I can go alone, pretend I'm a peasant girl.
No, Violetta. Just the thought of what could happen to you makes me shudder. I think the best plan is to wait here and see what happens. The next hour, we watched the disciplined movement of the mystery soldiers in the drab khaki uniforms. We counted 15, and they all cautiously advanced up to the entrance of the pass and regrouped. Then they split up into two parties and began to climb the sloping ground on either side of the pass. Their behavior gave me the impression that they were staking out an ambush. Soon they were lost to sight, and we were enveloped in a desolate silence. Not even a bird chirped.
Well, Paul, do we stay here?
I don't know. Everything is as clear as a handful of mud. Having come all this way, I can't take any unnecessary risks. You know, it might be better if we wait until dark and then head east looking for Major Ramsden. That is, if he and his people haven't been wiped out by the Waffen-SS.
If they fought it out, we would find evidence of the battle.
Yeah, that's true.
Another way would be to make contact with the local partisans. They would know what has been happening.
After recent experience, you know how suspicious I am about partisans. With all due respect to yourself, Violetta.
I understand.
What would they be? Communists?
The main group here are Republicans. That's all I know. Their base is the village of Komasek, about 60 kilometers east of here.
Oh, 60 kilometers.
Are we sure to run into some of their people before traveling that far? The Republicans won't give us any trouble. They tend to concentrate on fighting the Germans rather than other partisan groups.
Well, that makes a refreshing change. Well, we'd better make a start. You know, I'm getting rather tired of sitting here.
Sit down, Paul. Hmm? It is not wise to show yourself yet. We must keep to... Down, Paul!
What the hell?
Man we saw earlier. He must have seen us and doubled back behind us.
Damn. They've got us cold.
To run down the hill.
No, forget about it. That would be just plain suicide. If only we knew who they are. I don't know what to do about this. Violetta, I'm sorry, but I've decided that we'll have to surrender to them. Oh. There's no other way.
Then I will say goodbye now, Paul.
Goodbye? The heck are you talking about? What do you mean?
I mean that I will shoot myself rather than be taken prisoner.
What? Oh, no, Violetta.
Please, Paul. If you really love me.
All around us, drab, khaki-clad figures moved towards us. But for the moment, they were forgotten. Instead, I stared, transfixed with horror, as Violetta clicked the safety off her automatic pistol and raised the muzzle to her mouth.
Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dottman, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting and brought to you on Springbok Radio.